couple of weeks ago, I noted that there was a change in the demeanor of Solomon's writing as he approached these last couple of chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. He moved away from a journal of his experiences and the failures thereof to, here's what I've learned from this, and let me teach it to you. It's very easy for a preacher to stand in front of those that he's preaching to and say, here's what you need to do, and expect the hearers to abide by it. I have no problems with that. Actually, that's what needs to be done, except for one thing. You need to hear and think about what's being said. I don't know every way of application of what I have to speak, and Solomon certainly didn't know of every avenue of application to what he was saying. That requires the hearer to think about what's being said and think about how it can be applied to your life. More than anything else this morning, I want you to think as you hear the words that I have to say from, I believe, the Lord this morning. So to get you in a thinking attitude, I want to give you a test. Cause you to think. What I want you to do is I want you to read my mind. Okay, well, I was going to say that might be more of a quiz than a test. What I'm going to do is I am going to describe an activity. And I want you to think, I have five clues for you. Think about these five clues. And when you think that you know the answer, I want you to raise your hand. Now, I don't want you to guess at it. Guessing is not thinking. In fact, the first three clues, it will be impossible to know the answer. You might have a guess, but you won't know. So if I see your hand, like some smart alecky people, the ushers are here and they will take you out into the foyer and shoot you. But once you think that you know the answer, raise your hand. We'll see how well you're thinking this morning. Okay, you're trying to discern an activity. Clue number one is this. All of us do it. And by us, I don't mean just the people in this auditorium. I mean all of humanity does it. In fact, I could say anyone who has ever lived has done this activity. All that will ever live will do this activity. It's a universal thing. So that doesn't help you too much, does it? Clue number two. When we do this, we do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. There's never a time we don't do this. Whether you're awake or you're sleeping, you are doing this. Consequently, clue number three, we do it whether we are conscious of doing it or not. In fact, the probability is that more often than not, we're not even conscious that we're doing this activity. Now, there's too many possibilities yet that you can't know what this is. You might have a good idea, but there's more than one option that will satisfy these clues. Clue number four. No one does it faster or slower than anyone else. But it is believed that we may do it better or worse than others. No hands yet. Last. Wrong. You can breathe faster or slower than me. I said, no one does it faster or slower than anybody else. We all do it at the same rate. Last clue. When this activity is applied to cheese, it makes the cheese better. Aging. I knew you wouldn't get it to the last one, but I figured the last one would give it to you. All of us. Because up until the fourth clue, breathing would have been probably something that most people were thinking about. We all do it. We do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We do it whether we're conscious of it or not. But then that got knocked out with the faster or slower. But aging. We are all aging. At this very moment, you are getting older. The significance of that is this. This is a bad morning to use this illustration. But if you have a video, and it's interesting that this is what I was preparing. You miss a portion on the video, you go to the progress bar at the end of the thing, you back the video up, and you can watch it over again. Not a chance in life. Once this moment is gone, you cannot relive it. It's history. You can't go back and do it again. You can't go back and make mistakes. It's past. And therefore, you lose an opportunity to live if you don't live now. Solomon's counsel to us as we get to the close of chapter 11 is, I want you to live life now. You got your Bibles open there. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to hit the last handful of verses there and the first seven in chapter 12 this morning. He begins this way. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. Think of this. When you wake up in the morning, isn't it a lot more enjoyable if the sun is shining than if it's a cloudy, gloomy day? You wake up and you see the brightness of the day and you say, oh, it's going to be a great day today. Whereas on a cloudy day or whatever, I particularly enjoy June and beginning of July because that's when you have the most sunlight. It's not long after I get up that the sun will be coming up, and it just makes a greater day because there's more sunlight to it. And that's what he's saying here. The light is sweet and it makes for a wonderful day. But verse 8, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. You wake up and you say, oh, isn't this a wonderful day? But tomorrow it may rain. And how many things do we put off till tomorrow, thinking that no need to do them today? And we let life slide by. We miss out on enjoying the good days. Consequently, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He's saying a number of things here, and it's absolutely right, necessary to get them all right. Notice that he's first of all speaking to a young man, not a young child, nor an old man. Rejoice, O young man. The age frame in here, there's not a necessary particular age, but the idea is a young adult, probably in their 20s or 30s in that area, he's speaking to, and he's telling them to rejoice in thy youth. Why is that? Why is he speaking to a young person at that age? Well, drop on down to verse 10. He said, for childhood and youth are vanity. And there he's speaking of a toddler, preschooler, elementary school age kid, maybe on up into the early teens, middle teens. They have a whole lot of limitations on how they can live life. I was looking at good old Abraham out here in the hallway. He's 5 months old already, and he looks like he's about 14. Ryan, have you ever said to Abraham, come on, let's go outside and play ball? Not yet. Why is that? Oh, he can't walk. Can't throw. I mean, his physical abilities are limited. And consequently, children have to grow and develop some physical abilities. Did you ever teach them the multiplication tables? Start at three. He has to learn some things and to understand things, and consequently, he can't understand life of all its complexities and so forth at that age. And they start growing, and they start working towards that. And the more they grow, the better they are. But when you get to about 20, in around there, your physical abilities are reaching their peak. You can probably do more and do better than at any other time in your life. You've gained enough knowledge. Not that you've gained all the knowledge, but you've gained enough that you can make wise decisions in most things in life. And if there are things that you don't understand, you've probably gained enough knowledge that you find out it's a good thing to ask somebody who knows this. And you continue to learn. But he's saying, after that, oh, it's like the cloudy days that are coming. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. In other words, while you are able, take everything advantage that you have and live life to the fullest. Now, that does not mean sinfully. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thy eyes, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. If you see something that is appealing to you to do, do it. If it makes your heart glad, do it. As long as it's within the context of the will of God. Certainly sin can be pleasing, but it's not in the will of God. So while you have opportunity to really live life to its fullest extent, you have the best of physical abilities, enough of emotional and intellectual abilities, live life to its fullest, because as you get older, it's not going to be that way forever. Verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Now, the evil there is not speaking of moral evil, but is speaking of the deterioration of your abilities to enjoy life, physically, emotionally, that type of thing. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That does not mean that you don't have any pleasure in living, but the things that you really enjoyed when you were a young person just don't satisfy anymore. Or, you can't do them. I was just telling Garrett, I was thinking about my youthful days. I love sports. I loved playing sports. I played everything I possibly could play. I played football. I played basketball. I played soccer. I played tennis. I played baseball. I played softball. I played badminton. And you say, well, badminton, do you ever try and play badminton one-on-one? That's a sport. I played everything. I loved sports. And for short distances, I could run pretty well. Well, 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, we were having the softball game out here against the Firemen. And I was up to bat, and I hit a scorching ground ball down the third base line. Third baseman couldn't get to it. It was right on the line. The left fielder was way out. And I knew I had an easy single. But I said to myself, that's in a place where if I hustle, I can stretch this into a double. So I shifted into overdrive. And I was coming up on second base and the throw was coming in from the outfield. And the throw was wide of either the shortstop or the second baseman. I don't remember who was covering the base. And it went on out into the first base area. And I said to myself, oh no, now I got to run to third. And I ran to third. And I got there. They said, do you want to bring the tank of oxygen out? I said, two. I was huffing and puffing. I never would have done that when I was a kid. So I'm thinking, okay, Garrett's up the bat here. I hope he takes at least three or four pitches so that I can catch my breath. He hit the very first one. I haven't liked him since that day. I said, now what I got to do? I got to run home. Well, needless to say, I didn't run home. But fortunately, he hit it far enough that I could walk home. It just doesn't work like it used to. I still have pleasure in playing ball. I don't know that I'm going to do a whole lot of running anymore. That's the idea here. The days are coming when the capabilities shall be dismissed. So remember thy Creator now. Why didn't Solomon say, remember your Lord now? Or your God, but your Creator. I think he's making a statement. Remember the one who created you and created all of life. God didn't put you here to be in agony. He did not put you here to be frustrated. He did not put you here to be dismayed. He put you here to enjoy life. Even in the midst of hardships and trials and tribulations, and when computers don't work, God says, I want you to live life to the fullest. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Beginning in verse 2, he's going to use some poetic language to describe a person as they age. And I think verse 2 speaks about our emotional makeup. In other words, when you're young, everything looks bright. But as you grow old, well, you put up with the rainy days and you get through them, but then you find the clouds the days after and you start saying to yourself, it just isn't as much fun as it used to. That's the idea here. I saw a meme on Facebook the other day about a person getting old and that's the way it is and get off my yard. That's the stereotypical old person. Get off my grass. In verse 3, he starts dealing with the physical aspect of the body. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. I think he's speaking of your hands. That's pretty good right now. But when I first grabbed this at the beginning of the service, there was a little bit of this. They tremble. The strong men shall bow themselves. I think he's speaking of the muscular frame. Years ago, if I did this, the muscles went up. Now when I do this, I tried to counter this. I started doing a regimen of sit-ups every day. I'm up to one. I do the first half in the morning when I get out of bed and the second half when I get back in it at the end of the day. The grinders, your teeth shall cease because they are few. Now understand that back then in 1000 BC, they didn't have oral surgeons or dentists to go to like we have today. And consequently, as the teeth begin to fail, they just fell out. And those that look out the windows, your eyes, shall be darkened, cataracts. Generally speaking, young people don't deal with cataracts. Old people do. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Your hearing. John, did you hear what I said? Huh? What? I didn't hear you. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. You find yourself waking up in the middle of the night. A young person says, I don't want to wake up until early morning at 10 o'clock. Early morning for me is 3. Normal is 3:30. That's all I can sleep anymore. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Not just the hearing, but the idea of satisfaction of things, the things that soothe the heart. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. I found myself recently when I come down the steps holding on to the railing. Never used to hold on to the railing. When I was a kid, I just ran right down the steps. Now, take them one at a time, because remember, it says here that the strong men shall bow or bow. The muscles that provide stability and balance, they don't work like they used to. I need a little extra help. Where was I? Because the eyes are darkened and they don't work like they used to, driving at night becomes a little bit more fearful. How many of you people my age or older are saying, yeah, uh-huh. Yep. The almond tree shall flourish. When an almond tree blossoms, it has white flowers. No Grecian, no nothing here. This is natural. And the desire shall fail. I believe he's speaking of intimacy there. Because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. What's he saying here? Your friends start dying off. You're going to more funerals than weddings. Or the silver cord be loose. Possibly he's speaking of the nervous system, the spinal cord. The golden bowl be broken. Well, a bowl is something that things get poured into. I think he's speaking of the digestive system, and things don't, you can't eat what you once ate. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. The pitcher would be something that pours out. And he's speaking of the heart. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. The wheel would be something that provides direction. So something that is flowing, that's giving direction. We're talking about the mental processes. The fact of the matter is, every moment that goes by, you are aging. And these are the things that you have to look forward to. There's no getting around. There is no fountain of youth. You just can't stop these things from happening. And when it's all said and done, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Finally, at some point in time, we're all going to die. Isn't this an uplifting message? It really is. Remember now thy Creator. He designed life to be lived to the fullest. And everyone that is here this morning still has abilities to live life to the fullest. Maybe not what you once had, but you still can. Take advantage of that. That's the message. I did a little computation as I was preparing this. My one clue was, we do this 24 hours a day. So I said to myself, well, there's 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in the day, 365 and a quarter days of the year. If a person lives to 70 years of age, they will have experienced just a fraction over 2.2 billion seconds. If you live to 80 years of age, you will be a little over 2.5 billion seconds. And if you live to 90, you're just a little short of 2.9 billion seconds of life. And you say, wow, I got a lot of time to live. Billions of seconds. I can waste a few. After all, who's going to notice if 100,000 seconds out of 2 point some billion are missing? You will. Because you can never go back and get them again. Consequently, we start putting things off. We say to ourselves, well, I don't have to do this now. I'll get it tomorrow. And then it doesn't happen. A couple of decades ago, Harry Chapin wrote and sang a song that became a hit that's probably known to everyone here this morning. The words go this way. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And as he was talking for, I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. And he said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like him. Well, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad. I just can't find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and my kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy is just like me. Chapin is emphasizing, communicating to his son all the wrong things, but in so doing, he's talking about all the missed opportunities he had in earlier days. You just can't go back and get them again. So I said to myself, why is it that we put things off? What are the things that we say that I really can't live now because? And I came up with two categories of things. First of all, there are too many things that I have to do. The second one is, there are too many things that I have in order to do. Too many things I have to do. Well, I really enjoy life, but I gotta go to school today. Oh, if I could only graduate from school, then I could really start enjoying life. Or I'd really enjoy life today, but I gotta go to work. And if I didn't have to go to work, I could really enjoy life. Or we come to the place of retirement and I could really enjoy life if only my kids weren't asking me so many things that they want me to do for them. There's always something that we need to do that keeps getting in the way of enjoying things. Or we have to have some things in order to do what'll help us enjoy life. I have to have some physical things. I have to get more strength or coordination. So we go to the gym, and I'm certainly not against going to the gym, and I'm not certainly not against saying that you shouldn't try and make your physical abilities better than they are. But for many people, that becomes the end and not the means to an end. They spend all their life in the gym, and they never reap the benefits of it. I was talking to my youngest son, Andrew, just the other day, and he was talking about his basketball rep. And he's doing college games, and he's been trying to move up the ranks of a college referee in basketball. And he said he's been working on this, and he's been working on that, and all these different things that he's been working on and trying to get better at doing his job. And he said he was listening to a guy that he met at a referee's camp just a month or so ago. And he said it finally dawned on him that in trying to do all these things that would make him better, he was missing out on the enjoyment of reffing a basketball game. And he said, I'm not going to stop trying to improve. But he said, I went onto the court tonight to ref this game. And he said, I really had a good time. I really enjoyed what I was doing. We need physical things or we can't enjoy life. We need material things. If only I had more money that I could buy this, then I could enjoy life. But we keep working and working and working in order to build up the bank account to buy this. And by the time we amass enough to buy it, the ability to use it might be gone. Educational things. If I only had more knowledge. I just enrolled in a Doctor of Ministry course the other day. Not because I need another letter after my name, but I'm going to enjoy being stretched beyond reason. That's going to be a bundle of fun for me. Oh yeah, maybe it'll make me a better person too. Personal things. If only I had a wife, or if only I had a husband, a mate that could express love toward me and me toward them. If only I had children to play with. And you get the husband or you get the wife and you get the children and you say to yourself, if only I could get rid of these kids. Spiritual things. If only I understood how many angels could fit on the head of a pin, I could really live life. And we put off till tomorrow, not living life today. But we just wasted 24 hours in not enjoying the abilities that we have today for the glory of God. And who knows if there will be a tomorrow. Solomon says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Isn't life good? Yeah, but my arm hurts. My knees hurt. I've got a headache. Okay. Take some ibuprofen and enjoy life. God's grace will be sufficient. And when it's all said and done, you'll see what a wonderful God you have. And, oh, how could I forget this? And when the dust shall return to the earth, and the spirit return unto God who gave it, for those who have trusted Christ, it'll only get infinitely better. Amen? Let's pray. Father, teach us to think about the wonderful life that's available to us. May we rejoice, whether it be a sunny day or a cloudy day, whether we have aches and pains or the body's working perfectly, whether we have all the material or spiritual or physical or educational or personal things that we think that we should have, may we use whatever we have for the enjoyment of this life and the glory of God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.